I never ceased to be amazed. I was doing a thing out there in the I almost call it the narthex because I'm Presbyterian at heart, in the lobby. That's also called the lobby. I was out there doing a thing in the lobby, and I was coming in, and I made it about four rows down, and the presence of the Lord just kind of washed over me. Gosh, he comes to be with his people. I know he's in other churches. I know he's in other churches today, but he's here extra for Maranatha. That's not true. That is not true or biblical. Let me stop right there. That is not true. I feel the presence of God in his community and in his church, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it. I think I've just about gotten over my conflict. I showed up early this morning because I had three different messages from the week swimming around. And one of my brothers was like, Pastor, are we going to get all three today? And I said, no, in Jesus' name. You do not have to be worried. Please have no anxiety. Just one message today. They still are to some extent, so I'm prayerful and hopeful that what I've got for you today is exactly what you're supposed to hear. I think I've homed in on it. So I think I'm here. We're going to revisit a scripture today, which is not usual for me. I mean, we do revisit scriptures. It's not like we don't. But so close. This is a scripture from our first week together in 2020 from January 5. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 19 again today. You can go ahead and go there if you would like. I've gotten lots of questions over the years about why I don't put scripture on the screen, because lots of people do. If you go out there in YouTube or you podcast, folks who are out there doing way bigger than we are always providing the words on a screen. This is a personal preference of mine. Let me just tell you that I want you to engage with your eyeballs the Word of God. And I understand that with your eyeballs up here or with your eyeballs down here, it's still just words. But if it's in your hand, if it's in your hands and it's in paper or electronic form, that's you interacting with God's Word. I didn't spoon feed it to you. You're there. And my hope is that accidentally you might read more than we read, get interested, and want to keep reading, if that makes sense. Your relationship with God's Word has to be outside of this building and in that screen. It's got to be bigger than that. If that's the only time that you see God's Word, and I'm not coming for your daily devotion, please, please be in the Word of God. That's the only reason that I don't do that. I know that it would be helpful to you, but in all honesty, I'm being a little manipulative and trying to make you look at your phone for the Word of God or look at your Bible. That's how that works for me. My message today is called Mission Impossible. Just about everybody in this room should be familiar with this title, because everybody in this room knows that this is not mine. I didn't make this up. This guy and a varying cast of actors have taken on the world six times. They've taken on the world six times, at least the stories that we know about. And they have taken on world-ending problems. And by virtue of their skills or their charisma or their strength or the collective force of their will, despite always overwhelming odds, they've saved the day, and usually the planet, if not an entire continent. It's never like a person's life. It's always like a hemisphere or the globe itself. Despite overwhelming odds, they save the day, and they do it every time, almost barely. You get about an hour and 40 into the movie, and you think, this is it, we all die this time, and they don't somehow. Now, to be fair, this is not a new concept, because this guy and his team were saving the day in the late 60s and early 70s. So all you folks who think you know Ethan, whatever his name is, you don't. That's the real cat right there. They liked him so much, they brought him back in the late 80s and early 90s. It didn't last as long. And everything old is new again. And so then what's his name with the thing and the people? But there's this idea for us and our culture and our society. We like the idea of living limitless lives, of everything being possible. When we run up to things that seem impossible, that's so challenging. And who can blame us? Mankind has accomplished the impossible over the years. Are you aware that when you fly, you're sitting down 5 miles above the planet, traveling at 600 plus miles an hour? Or do you just get on the plane and la la la? Can you believe that? Can you believe that we do that? It started with two dudes in North Carolina with a rubber band and some wood, and then suddenly here we are. We've beaten major diseases, like life-ending diseases, things that where before there was no cure for. People who are way smarter than me and gifted in different ways than I'm gifted have come up with this stuff. Flu used to kill people. Did you know that? There are now diseases that are so far in our past, every once in a while, some of them will like, they'll come up somewhere. The mumps. I've never had a mump, much less many mumps. And every once in a while, something like that. Well, now there's other stuff. There's other stuff that's challenging. But we've accomplished some incredible things. Doing the impossible is something that we just want to be real and every day. We want to be able to set our minds to whatever we want to do and to do it. And the problem with that is that some things truly are impossible. And that's hard. And capable of being. There are some things that are just not capable of being or capable of occurring. It's not possible. Felt incapable of being done or attained or fulfilled. The synonyms aren't any better. Hopeless, insoluble, insolvable, unattainable, undoable, unrealizable, unsolvable. Not only insolvable, but unsolvable. You can't solve it. Some things are just impossible, and that's hard for us as human beings. That's hard when we run up against challenges that seem impossible, situations that seem impossible, circumstances that seem impossible. That's why it was such a big thing, what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 19, because context is always good. Jesus is preaching about some heavy stuff. In our Bibles, because it's chapter driven, and they did this so that we could make more sense of it, and it was in, you know, order, he starts talking about divorce, and that's big. He starts talking about some big, deep things. He's laying out God's own theology and doctrine, his own theology and doctrine, of how big things in the world works. And in our first service of the year, in our first message of the year, we talked about New Year, same troubles, same obstacles, same boundaries. And we looked at this story of the rich young ruler who 3/4 of the way down the chapter comes to Jesus. And depending on if you read it in Mark or if you read it in Matthew, he's a pretty humble guy. And we talked about what Jesus said about him, because this rich young ruler, when he walked away from a lot of things. And into that vacuum, the disciples are like, rich people can't be saved? Because Jesus said it's harder for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to get into heaven. And the disciples were like, then who? How is this possible? That word amazed there is not a great translation. A better translation would be we're knocked out. They literally almost passed out with the shock and awe that a person who was so materially and financially blessed would have trouble getting into the kingdom, but because material and financial blessing was a mark of God's favor. How could someone who seemed to have so much of God's favor be so far from the kingdom? This is 19:23 and following. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished, knocked out, almost fainting, overwhelmed by this, and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Impossible there is the same word. He uses the same word in the way that we use it. There's no difference. Adunatus. That's the word. It means impossible, unthinkable, unrealizable, unconquerable, unclimbable, unscalable, insolvable, and unsolvable, unattainable. This is not a thing that is doable. With people, this is impossible. It is impossible for a person to be saved by virtue of their strength, gifts, talents, charisma, intellectual prowess, smarts, capacity for good, empathy, their talent, the potential for doing good, their philanthropic efforts and endeavors, good morals, And it's certainly not just the hope that being a good enough person is enough. It's impossible for a person to be saved. It's impossible for a person to have within them anything good enough, strong enough, solid enough, righteous enough, or holy enough in and of themselves to be saved. It's not doable. It's impossible. And this, my friends, is the hard truth of the gospel. This is the hard truth. This is a black and white issue. This is a one or the other. And that's hard for me because often when I'm up here, and certainly in our conversations outside of this context, I'm always encouraging people to be a person of both and. Don't be a person of either or. Because either or represents black and white thinking. And black and white thinking for us, as I have often told you, is safe, but it is very flawed. And it will push you away from compassion to error. It will every time. We like black and white thinking because it's safe. I want something to be either this or that. I want it to be right or left. I just did that correctly. I wanted to make sure. Stage right, stage left. I want it to be good or bad, light or dark. This is not a commentary on you who've sat in the wrong section today. I hope you understand. You're not any more saved than these folks, just so we're clear. I want it to be definable. I want to know what's happening. I want to be able to understand. Things that I don't understand, I want to put as far away from myself as I possibly can. Because black and white thinking is safe. And you and I both know, you all and I know, that it's the tension and the friction of living in a gray world that drives us insane. It is so hard to live in the friction of that, where everything is on a spectrum. Is this good? Yes, mostly. Is this bad? Absolutely, except with this caveat. It's really hard. But I encourage us to be people of both and, because he is both God and on his throne, and our world is in a mess. And if you are not careful, you will refuse to recognize the mess, or you will refuse to recognize his righteousness, because you want to be either or in your thinking. He is both healer and also people get sick. That's hard. But you will either enter into the victimhood of your sickness, or you will deny God. Or you will say, I'm not sick, that's not for me. Brother, sister, you're sick, go home. Don't come and share your germs with us in Jesus' name. Don't come and do that. Stay at home with your tissues and bless your house with those germs. It's hard to be both and people. We want to be either or. But let me be very clear to you. This is the challenge of the gospel. The challenge of the gospel is not lifestyle. Listen very clearly to me. I'm not being heretical, because we like to really point at lifestyle and go, this is the problem. No, it's not. That's not the problem. How you treat people, that's not the essence of the problem. What you do with your money, not the essence of the problem. The problem is saved or not. This, my friends, is an either-or proposition. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's not a both-and. You cannot both subscribe to the buffet of religion out there and also be saved. I'm sorry. I'm not telling you that there are not other practices like meditation. Ooh, don't get spooky. I'm not getting woo-woo on you. Meditation is scriptural, by the way. I'm not saying that there's not other practices. I'm a person who... I got a degree in psychology because I'm a both and person. It's not either psychology or God for me. It is both psychology and God, because I believe that God is the author of the psychology. He knows how my mind works, and he knows how to speak to it to fix it. This is an either or issue. It is impossible for us to be saved apart from Jesus the Christ. Period. Bottom line. Full stop. Mic drop. And that is the essence of the challenge of the gospel. The way that we come across to the world is we come across as exclusive. If you don't live how we think you should live, you're not a part of it. That's how we've made it, because we don't know what to do with this. If you're not on our side, then you're on the wrong side. If you don't look like us, think like us, read like us, talk like us, smell like us, vote like us, then you're on the wrong side. You are out and we are in, and that's not the problem. The problem is that we don't know what to do with our own salvation, and trust and believe, if anybody were to drive by your life in a way that you couldn't see or experience them, they might see you saved on Monday and not saved on Tuesday. We're challenged by this. How do we inhabit our salvation 24/7, 365 in a way that brings glory to God and is also good for us? We're challenged with that, so we make it about the other issues. This is not at all in my notes. I need to keep moving. This is something that I find myself doing all the time. I find myself shying away from the difficulty of, are you saved or are you not? Because yesterday, you didn't look like it. You didn't think like it. You didn't act like it. And thank God you didn't run across any of your people, because they'd been like, you're the pastor of who? I have an objection. And you would have been right. This is hard. Jesus is saying that salvation for people alone with people is impossible. And then he says, but with God. I should stop there. That should have been the title of my sermon. We should pray and I should let you go to an early lunch, but I'm your pastor and I'm not going to do that, so deal with it. Then he says, but with God. It was God who said, let there be light. And there was. And it was God who said, let the top be separated from the bottom. And it was. It was God who said, let the waters be filled with life. Let the earth be covered with life. Let us bring man to life out of the dust. Let us with our own hands fashion and form woman. That's the God that Jesus is referring to. But with God, all things are possible. And what's so interesting for me for this is that he takes it out of the context of, can rich people be saved? Because he's saying yes to that question. He's saying, yes, rich people can be saved. And also, everything is possible with God. He takes it from that minute little snapshot of a situation and a context to, with God, there are no limits. It can't be limited. If it were just, if the power of God were just limited to salvation, he wouldn't be God. If that's the best that he had, if on his best day, the most that he could do was defeat death. Listen, that's not a joke. There's a lot of juice in that. That's some stuff right there. I don't have that kind of juice. I don't have that kind of influence. I don't have that kind of power. But if that's all he's capable of, then he's not God. But he's capable of everything. So all things are possible with him. Jesus would know. When Jesus makes the statement, but with God all things are possible, he would know, because he was there when the Israelites were running for their lives. Moses convinced them. Moses said, come with me. It's going to be great. And as they were walking out after hundreds of years of slavery, Moses was like, we're headed to the desert. Best vacation ever. And everybody blessed them with stuff. And then they got out there and Pharaoh said, nope. And he got on his horse and came after them. And they were like, we going to die. But with God, the sea parted. Please don't let Bible stories just be stories for you. Please understand that that's an account of a thing that happened. A million people walked up to a body of water, and there's no way a million people go around that fast enough before most of them get chewed up by the chariots that are coming. The fastest way is the way that's impossible. Let me say that again. The fastest way is the way that's impossible. And with God, the waters split. Jesus was there when Jericho went down. That's such an interesting story because it's nuts. Here's what I want you to do. I want you and the worship team. I want y'all out in front. We're not sending the people with the shields and the swords and the spears. Nah, I want y'all folks with the lutes and the lyres to walk out front, and we're going to praise and we're going to blow trumpets. We're going to blow trumpets. And we're facing a wall that is impregnable. And oh, by the way, somebody probably might drop something on your head. It was terrifying to march around that wall. Terrifying. And he said, don't just do it one day, do it lots. And then on the last day, on the last time, this impenetrable, unscalable, unbreakable wall came down. They blew the trumpet. Jesus was there. The wall came down. Now, let me push you a little bit further, because it said that everybody went straight up in. Everybody who was marching went straight up in. I hope you can see what that possibly means. That means the walls were, and then they weren't. It wasn't just that they fell down and people had to dodge sections of a falling wall. Watch out. Some historians, theologians, and even creationist people think the walls didn't go down. They went in. Like an elevator went, the walls didn't go, they went whoop. And people were like, hey, oh no. With God, the walls of an impenetrable city through which they had to go in order to take advantage of the promise, in order to claim the promised land, which had been theirs for hundreds of years. With God, that was possible. Jesus was there when David faced a giant. Nobody else would step to that man, and I don't blame them. 8+ feet tall, carrying weapons that weighed the same amount as people. You are not going to step to that guy, but with God, all things are possible. Didn't swing a sword, took a rock, hit that dude in the head, down. Shook off all of the king's armor and his weapons. He said, I can't move in this. Whack, done. With God, all things are possible. Jesus was there when Nehemiah whispered a prayer because he was the cupbearer to Artaxerxes. And he kept getting word of how all of the Israelites who had been scattered because of their poor decisions and because of their rebellion, they were coming back to their homeland, but it was a mess and his heart was broken. And this guy went to the foreign king. And the foreign king was like, what's wrong with your face? Why are you so sad? And Nehemiah whispered a prayer and he said, here's why I'm sad. My people have no place. My folks have no home. My city, the ancient city, the city of my ancestors lies in ruins. And that king gave him the money, the means, the opportunity, the equipment, the people. He sent him back and said, rebuild your city. Because with God, all things are possible. And then after centuries of an impotent sacrificial system that proved that man could not save himself, it was Jesus who left the throne of heaven, walked to the place of the skull, and gave his life so that he could make all things possible. This God who spoke your sun into the sky and your stars into the stratosphere, this God who separated the bottom from the top for you, this God who filled the seas with life and who covered the land with animals, this God is the same God who's with you now. This God who saw the giant fall, this God who saw the city taken over, this God who was there, by whose power the water split, it is that God who's with you right now in this moment. He's empowering you to see the impossible become possible. To see the impossible become capable of occurring, attainable, solvable, and solvable, doable, realizable. These things which seem impossible in your own life. Peace is possible. I can't promise peace for our nation. I can't promise peace for our world. But anybody inhabited by the very Spirit of the living God, I can promise you peace. Peace is possible. Joy is possible. Hope is possible. Strength is possible. Healing is possible. Abundance is possible. It is all possible because of what Jesus did. Because with God, everything is possible. And this is no movie where we have to wait for a protagonist to come and save us, because one already did. He already came and made the ultimate sacrifice. Inspired by the love that he has for you and filled by his faith in God, he stretched his arm out and gave his life so that with God everything can be possible. What do you need for him to make possible for you? Because he's already done it. I don't know what city you're walking around waiting for the walls to fall. I don't know what giant you face. I don't know what body of water you're standing up against going the fastest way, the only way is that way, but there's this thing. I don't know what you're facing, but if with God everything is possible, then everything for you is possible. Everything. The end of your movie has already been written. Credits have already gone. It's done. It's finished. Father, into this moment we enter in with more hope than we have had in a long time. Into this moment we enter in with more faith than we have dared imagine. Into this moment, scarcely believing it might be possible, we grasp for hope, which up until maybe this moment for somebody has been impossible. But because of what you did, Jesus, all things are possible with God. So it is my hope, my fervent prayer, and my belief that in this moment, someone's giant would fall, someone's sea would part, the walls to whatever is blocking someone's destiny would fall, not outward and crush them, but straight in so that they could go straight up. I wait for you to speak into the lives of your people right now, God. I'm waiting for you to speak. My brother, my sister, you have done everything that you can. You've done everything humanly possible. You've done everything that you can, and there's still been no result. I just want to encourage you in this moment with things, with people, it's not possible, but with God, everything is possible. So I pray that right now, whatever anxiety that you are still holding, whatever frustration still inhabits your life, whatever ways the enemy is seeking to drag you into a hole of depression, I pray right now, God, speak life into that person's heart and into their mind in Jesus' name. Come alive, Holy Spirit, in the hearts and minds of your people. Burn bright with a flame that will never be extinguished. Consume all of these things which just wake us up in the morning and follow us to bed at night. You promise, you say right in these words, Jesus, with God, all is possible. Help us to rest in that truth. Whether we see it in the next 5 minutes, whether we get that phone call or that email in the next day or the next week, whether we see any movement even in the next 6 months, help us to stand firm with our feet on the truth that with God, all is possible. Speak to your people today, God, as we stand and sit in your presence. Speak to us, Father. If your proverbial fingers are in your proverbial ears, take them out. If you don't want to hear what he is saying, then I challenge you to listen. No matter how difficult, no matter how daunting, no matter how unfair it may feel or seem, whatever God is trying to speak into you, take your fingers out of your ears and listen and say, I'm here, I'm present, whatever you want to say. Whatever you want to say. We are done with doing it our way. We are done with doing it our way. Our way is hopeless, and our way is harmful, and our way is tiring, and everything that we are doing under our own strength, we are out of strength, Father. We have to have yours. Come and speak possibility to your people, I pray. Speak it to our finances. Speak it to our hearts. Speak it to our minds. Speak it to our hurts. Speak it to our futures. Speak possibility. Speak hope and speak life to your people, Father, I pray. Thank you, God, for your presence with your people today, and thank you for your word. Help us to become a people of the book. Become a people of the book. Help us to become people of your word. Help us to be seekers. Help us to be readers. Help us to just consume us with a desire, not for the knowledge of this world, but for the truth of your word. Consume us, God, with that desire so that we can see who you truly are and find what it is that you have to say and experience the hope and the love and the faith that you have for us. Create in us a hunger, oh God, to know you through your word. I pray all of these things over us, God. hoping and believing all of these things for us, knowing that you, the God of the impossible, will bring to possibility all of the things, Father, that we see or feel to be impossible. I thank you, Lord, and I pray that as we leave today, things would be breaking loose for us, giants would be falling, that the oceans would be parting, and that the walls would come down. I pray these things in the name of your Son, who gave his life so that mine could be possible. I thank you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.